Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, ladies. My name is Dempsey Palat. I'm a producer for 1010 Wins here in New York City. Pleasure to be speaking to both of you. I really enjoyed the film. I saw it with quite a crowd, and we all laughed hysterically. So yes. just so you know. My first question is for Helena. I love the film. As I said, I understand this is your English language directorial debut. So I want to know a little bit about how did that happen? Why this story in particular?
So I made my first film, Instinct, and then A24 saw that film and we started to have meetings and become interested in each other. And then they gave me the script that they had, which what I liked about that was that there was a game and these young people playing this game that I used to play with my friends. So I was very intrigued by the psychological warfare idea of that. And then I had this whole idea to sort of make it more, Lord of the Flies meets Mean Girls kind of vibe. And we attracted Sarah Delap to work with us on a rewrite. She's a playwright and I come from theater myself. And so that's how I got involved. And yeah, I just thought it would be incredibly fun to make a film about young people and about group behavior and about, the who is the killer inside of us or outside of us kind of theme. So that's how I got involved in the project.
Now, the film is billed as a horror slasher, but it's very funny. Funny cast, funny moments throughout. And it looked like it was so much fun to make. I mean, half of it was like a house party, essentially. Were there any scenes that this question's for both of you. Were there any scenes that you guys recall were hard to get through because you were all having so much fun?
I mean, the party scene was a party. Helena kept saying, like, I can't wait for our party on Friday all week. And we were like, what is this going to be? And then we just like rolled and rolled and we were like dancing. And then like, it just kind of devolves into madness where you're like, every little thing that could happen where it's like, we're still shooting. So these two people leave to go do coke. These people get in a fight. These people start making out. This person gets jealous. And like, that was so fun because by the end, it felt like a party. And then like, do you know when you go out and you got kind of drunk and then the next day you're like, did I do anything embarrassing? That's how I felt the next day where I was like, was I weird at the party? Because that's how real it felt. It was very fun.
Yeah.
That's
I agree. Awesome. I love that day.
Next question specifically for Rachel. I loved Shiva Baby. I felt like it was a total psychological thriller, even though it's supposed to be a drama. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies feels like a comedy despite being a horror film. You're two for two with these kind of anti-genre films. Is that something you hope to do more of? Is that something you find more rewarding, subverting the audience expectations? Talk to me about why you chose this project.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I love genre bending things and things that kind of combine genre because the tone is so interesting and very hard to nail. So it's a challenge too. And when I read the script, I was like, the dialogue is so funny and so layered, but you can't tell how it will play. And I saw Instinct, Helena's first movie, and it was like this like psychosexual thriller and it's so good and you're like, oh my god, this script, like on the page you like see jokes, and then Helena's first movie is so intense, and the combining of the two I think created like the intensity of the performances created the comedy because we were doing it so like real, and so that was just so fun to get to be a part of.
Now, I know it's kind of a tradition for people who make horror films to kind of watch horror films, or like there's like a certain reading list or required viewing. Was there anything like that for this film? Anything that you guys watched together?
I for me, I watched Heathers. I don't know if you know Heathers. I love Heathers. I love Ari Aster's films. I have to admit to you that I am I'm easily scared. So I don't want to watch these films by myself. Even Heathers, I don't watch by myself. So I think that's why it was so important to all of us to be able to make this film in a genre that we sort of created ourselves. We don't see it as a true horror film. We don't see it as a true slasher film. It's just, you know, our own little cocktail of what we, it's more a dark comedy than anything else that has blood, that has violence, that has deaths. But I don't necessarily think it is a radical horror or anything. But I do think Heathers is a great inspiration for this because the tone of that film, like Rachel said, it is such a challenge to nail a tone that, you know, is in a genre bending space. And so Heathers does that too. And I just thought that was incredibly great, but also Cries and Whispers, Ingmar Bergman, you know, that we did that on stage with my company. And that's a horror film to me. The whole scene in the red room in the basketball court, where, you know, the film shifts into violence and the girls are actually committing their first act of violence is totally inspired by Cries and Whispers. So, you know, there's horror in a lot of films, I feel. I didn't see the list. I didn't get the memo that I was supposed to.
But you had us watch Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Yeah.
We did watch that.
We watched that. We have our own little list that is really out of the box. But Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, as far as acting style, it's one of the best films ever made. It's a very famous play, but the film is so good. And it's one of the first films where you have the feeling that the actors are improvising and it's wild and primal. And, you know, and that's the kind of material that we watched for this.
Yeah, Liz Taylor. Yeah, that's now that you mentioned Heathers and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and I could kind of see the connections.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, this isn't my term. I think Ken Power said it, but were you making an action movie with words, kind of? So I could totally see that. That's hilarious that you didn't have a list, but you did have a list. Now, the song that plays throughout the movie, The Board in the House, I feel like this movie could not have been made without it because it's so perfect on so many different levels. Talk to me about the choosing. Did you guys know beforehand that you wanted to have that viral song kind of play throughout?
The Board in the House. It's just a song I love. I can listen to it all day long. And during the pandemic, I think everybody sort of related to that song. And, you know, it's such a great song. And I just thought it was almost too on the nose for our film, but I didn't care because we as a group also, we like that kind of meta perspective. We like that kind of irony, you know, because of course they are bored in the house and then this happens, you know, and also it just is a great TikTok song. So yeah, I loved it. I had it even more in. Before, and there was a cut when it was there all the time. People were like, why are we listening to this again? I was so into it. But I was so happy when we actually got the rights, because when you're editing, you can just put everything you want. You sort of make your ideal. But yeah, it was great when we heard that we got the rights.
All right, final question. There are many things to take away from this film, including what can happen when you get too bored in the house. What do you guys think? I'd love to hear from both of you. Is the film's biggest message or the thing that you hope people take away from it?
For me, I hope that especially young people can relate to it, you know, and up until now, we've heard so many wonderful reactions and they don't feel at all that we're making fun of them, but they can actually relate to it. And for me, it's a little bit of a cautionary tale that we're all so addicted to our phones, so addicted to the screen. You know, the film starts with I love you, and then you see them both texting, and the film ends with the line I have reception, you know. So I feel it's such a, I don't know, a message to myself mainly that I should get rid of my phone a little more and look into somebody's eyes a little more.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And to have fun and to have a freaking good time and to see themselves reflected. I think what Helena said of not in a judgmental way, but more in it's a sort of both, where it's making fun of yourself, but also appreciating certain aspects of the culture. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.